They put me on the cover of their magazine. Scarlet skies and broken dreams. They promised me that we would change the world for better or for worse.
Changing the world is a theme of the band Hypernova's album American Dream, one of the voices of Iran emerging in American pop culture. This has been a year of change for Iran politically, with big implications for the U.S. and Iran that will play out in landmark nuclear talks in 2014. The election of President Hassan Rouhani was a big change from his predecessor Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And in a land where technically you can get in trouble for carrying a Christian Bible around, President Rouhani tweeted a Christmas message this year. Quote, "May Jesus Christ, Prophet of Love and Peace, bless us all on this day, wishing Merry Christmas to those celebrating, especially Iranian Christians." That tweet is as powerful a sign of change as the confrontational music of the band Hypernova, co-founded by Iranian exile King Ram. In a series of conversations with ordinary Iranians who sense that change is coming, Ram says his voice is the voice of music that long-divided Iranians and Americans share as common ground.
From the very first day when I came to the States and all the interviews that I've done, I've always sort of, you know, made the point of, you know, rock and roll has no boundaries. You know, music brings us together. It transcends race, religion, boundaries. And the more I travel around the world, the greater, you know, I realize how our similarities are than our differences.
You know, we spoke with a designer recently who's gone back to Tehran to resurrect the Paykan car. And one of the things that he said was that the connection between car culture, between the United States and Iran, transcends politics, transcends all of this. You're saying music transcends politics, transcends all of these sort of divisions between peoples. Why do you think there can't be more of a sense of collegiality and community between the U.S. and Iran?
We definitely have our historical, you know, back and forth, but generally speaking, when you see like all these sort of negative, you know, this hateful sort of image they show of Iran towards the West, it's such a, I would say it's such an unfair sort of assessment of what I think the majority of people actually feel over there. I'm not saying that they're not religious or traditional, you know, in the sense, but every time I've had American friends come over, you know, to visit and say, maybe like, they would have nothing but good things to say about, you know, their trips and their travels. And I think the way that Iranians are portrayed in the media, I think is a little unfair. And this misconception can lead to, you know, people feeling that, oh, these people are like savages or this. And it's very unfortunate because, you know, in the Middle East, you know, Iran is like, I think, one of the most sophisticated and technologically advanced countries. You know, we have the highest rate of women in universities, a very thriving art scene. You know, you have performance artists, galleries, painters, sculptors, and just given the limitations that all these people have back home, they still find ways to be creative and interesting, and they continue to inspire. And I think that's really the most important thing for me about art. And there is a real sense of honesty and sincerity in the work that they do back home, because that's all they have. The same thing was for us. When we would play music in the undergrounds in Iran, that was our release from the chaos and madness around us. It was our escape into this fantasy world, you know. And even
how can you say madness and fantasy and yet express so much pride about Iran at the same time? I mean, you go from one sentence of pride, one sentence of kind of anger. You know, it sounds a little bit like a Democrat speaking during the Bush administration.
You know, that's a very interesting point you actually mentioned. I do find that we do have this sort of inherent sort of paradox within us as Iranians. There is a sense of, you know, pride and nationalism, and yet we're conflicted given the nature of our sort of oppressive government. You know, the way that we were raised and since the revolution, I think one of the biggest causes for this issue that you put a point on is that we learned to live this sort of very bipolar lifestyle. We were taught to say and do one thing in public, and we would do the exact opposite in private. So imagine as a child, you know, your parents are telling you to lie at school, and their teachers are asking all these questions that, you know, you're confused about. And you grow up with this attitude. So this becomes like second nature to us in a way, where we have this love-hate relationship with our own country.
If your parents ask you to lie at school, give me an example of what exactly it is you're talking about there.
Well, it's very fun because, you know, like, you know, in Iran, there's, you know, people, they drink alcohol. There's a lot of alcohol consumption, and very, like, much to the prohibition where it's illegal, it's even more accessible. I mean, both alcohol and drugs, it's crazy how easily accessible it is.
Right, but so what you're telling me is, like, unlike in America where it would be the parents would rat out the kids for drinking.
Right.
It's the kids who are protecting the parents from being found out.
I mean, they would apply very Orwellian techniques. Remember how, like, they would get the kids to spy on the parents, to tell the kids to, are your parents drinking? Are they playing cards? Are they listening to, you know, Western devil music? You know, it's so this is like the sort of environment that you grew up as a kid. So you're very confused.
That's, but, you know, completely wild.
But this whole idea that, you know, we've always been raised with this sort of religious context where we were forced to do a lot of things that we didn't want to do. You know, I remember, like, we were forced to have to go and pray every day. It's because nobody did. You know, nobody ever went. And I think it's gotten to a point where people, instead of having that positive effect on them, it's going the exact opposite way. Hmm. And Iran is, in a way, is a strange clash of old and new, where you have, you know, technology and, you know, internet and satellite bringing in all this Western lifestyle of, you know, what's hip and cool, et cetera. But at the same time, people are still, like, you know, they're struggling with some traditional ideals and conservative values. So it's very interesting the way that this whole thing is playing out, because the majority of our country is, like, over 65% is under the age of 35.
Right.
Which is pretty fascinating. So, you know, I think slowly but surely we're going to see, like, you know, some very interesting changes within our society.
Well, let's do one thing before we go. I mean, you've described how art and music can transcend political divisions. What if we made a band, right, with President Obama and President Rouhani and maybe the Supreme Leader and, you know, John Kerry or somebody from the U.S. government, Hillary Clinton or something like that? What would each one of them play, do you think? Who'd be the DJ? Who'd be the vocalist?
That's such a funny question. I don't know. John Kerry, because he'd definitely be the bassist. He just seems like that type.
Totally.
I guess I could totally see Khamenei, because, you know, he only has one hand. So he could be like the Def Leppard drummer. He would work well. And between Obama and Rouhani, I don't know who would be. I think, you know, Obama has actually proven that he's a pretty good singer a couple of times. So I would definitely, he'd have to be singing. And we'd put Rouhani on lead guitar. I think his outfit would just be really badass.
I'm totally with you. King Ram, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you for having me, John.
32-year-old King Ram is the founder of the Iranian rock band Hypernova. You can hear our other conversations with Iranians about this year of change at thetakeaway.org, including Shaheen Armin, a design engineer who's part of a movement to celebrate the Paykan, the classic Iranian car from the time of the Shah.